Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Welcome back to another episode of Turnbuckle Time Machine, Season 5, Episode 25. And this just dawned on me.
What's that?
My birthday.
What?
525.
Whoa!
No arguing there.
Who would have ever seen this coming?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Because I texted you before you got here. I said, was this the best role you've ever seen? And you go, I kind of don't remember it. So that just means, in my opinion, it was the best role I've ever seen.
Because it was your birthday? Or because I don't remember it?
Both, maybe?
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
Nah, well, no,
But it was a good role, in my opinion. Great role.
It was good. As I go through my notes, I realize, oh man, this some cool stuff happens.
Cool stuff. Very cool. Yeah, good. Very good one. This just dawned on me.
Another thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Did you go to McDonald's before you got here?
I did. How'd you know?
Because you asked me if I wanted anything to eat, and I was thinking, as I was eating Chinese food, I'm like, no, I got Chinese food. But I'm thinking, like, oh, I wonder where he went. I'm like, he probably would have texted me if it was McDonald's, right, though?
No. Am I just supposed to text you if it's McDonald's every time?
You know I love McDonald's.
Yeah, who doesn't? But, like, I had McDonald's. You had Chinese food? I feel like that's almost a better option.
I know, but I could always, you know.
Go for a
There's never a bad time for a fillet of fish, right? That's what I'm saying.
You know, especially after last time we had McDonald's, how terrible it was.
I've had better experiences after that, and I hope you have too.
Well, today,
but we've never shared a better. We need one to like cleanse the palate. You know,
this cleansed my palate really well.
But I wasn't there.
You were there.
Was that?
You felt like you were there.
I didn't feel like I was there.
Like you were there.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, it was really, really good quality McDonald's. It might have been the best double quarter pounder I've ever had.
Did you go to the same one we went to last
no,
time?
No, different one because I didn't have enough
gas. You went to the good one.
I went to the good one.
You went to the good one.
And it was great.
You know what I like about that one? And I won't say the name of it. Just.
The name McDonald's?
I don't want to blow them up or anything. Being on the internet. They really care about just community there.
Big community. McDonald's?
I went in one time because the line was so long, and there's this lady talking with the other lady at the counter about, you know, how I think her husband passed away like a week ago. I'm like, she still has to work at McDonald's? She's like an older lady. And I'm like, well, no wonder there's a goddamn line before we're here grieving.
Yeah.
But
it's like the funeral procession.
Yes. But still, good sense of the community. And you could taste that in the food.
Yeah. In the quality double quarter pounders with cheese.
Yeah. Is that what you got?
Do they have double quarter pounders without cheese? Is that an option? I've never seen that.
Sure it is. Ask Vince if he's ever
gonna. Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
Yeah. Alright, so let's get into Raw. You got anything to add?
About Raw or McDonald's?
Either one. That's like two of my favorite
Good fries.
Did you have good ones?
Yeah, they were right side up and fresh as hell.
It's a good start.
Can't beat it. Speaking of perfectly cooked fries, Nation of Domination coming.
Could have said, speaking of beat it.
Beat it? Did I say beat it, though?
I think he said, you can't beat it.
Oh, yeah. Beat it.
I'll have to edit that in now.
You're big editing it in back again.
We'll
now.
See. I had a good day.
I had a day off. Yeah. I edited a lot in.
Yeah. Nation of Domination are coming out. By the way, let's back it up here. Where the hell are we?
Where are we?
We're in D-Town.
The D.
We're in the dirty D.
Raw in the D. Shout out to Vince and Pease.
Maybe a good name for the title. You'll know if you clicked on it. Raw in the D. Or D in the Raw.
Raw in the D.
It'll probably be something else.
It'll probably be speaking of fries.
Yeah, dude, it might have to be speaking of fries. So Ahmed Johnson is coming out, and this is the first time he's coming out with all the Nation of Domination members and new gear. Who dis, Ahmed?
Looks pretty cool.
Looks great. Looks Did he always have cool. the handlebar? The mustache handlebar? Always?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's just more
It's predominant. More pronounced now with yeah. his leather black outfit.
it's more gayer now with all the leather, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention, he does rock a fanny pack here.
Yeah, that's weird, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, none says militant black man in, like, fanny pack. What does he keep in there, do you think? Twinkies?
Not condoms. Sponsored okay. by Not Condoms. Sponsored by Raw.
You want Raw in the D? Not condoms.
Not condoms. So, that would be a good name for a condom. It's like...
Not condoms?
No. Yeah.
It's what just would a be ring. The whole tagline? Though?
Listen. Hear me out. It's just the ring.
It's just a cock ring.
So it looks like there's a condom on, and it looks like, oh, it's just like see-through, but there's no condom on. It's just the ring at the
so
bottom.
Thin, you won't even feel it.
Yeah. It's like wearing a glove where you just Velcro like the wrist and the rest
like,
of the hand.
Like a rubber ring. Band around your wrist?
Yeah, it's a bracelet, really.
Well, it could still function as a cock ring.
Right. Correct. We're just selling cock rings. Yeah. I just wanted to find a loophole to get into the cock rings. Like, are we a cock ring company?
I don't
like,
want to
no,
be a cock
we're condom. We're a condom company. I love cock rings.
Who doesn't though?
Sponsored by cock rings. So Vince is asking Ahmed. He's saying, "Why, Ahmed? Why?
Por qué?"
And remember, with Ahmed was kind of tiptoeing this Nation of Domination line, where he's like, "Well, you know, these guys kind of have a point." When was the last time there was a black champion? I got screwed
Everybody
out because
be a black champion, but nobody want to be a black champion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And immediately Vince asks him why, and he just says, "Ask yourself why, white man." And I'm
Whoa.
Like, "Oh, we're going to 100 here with Ahmed." So we sang, you know, Vince turned his back on him. The whole crowd turned his back on him. The fans did. Because he's a black man, is what he said.
Damn racist fans in Detroit.
So Yeah.
And one guy, he meant those specific fans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that punch our run our tests here in the future. Those fans.
Yeah, racist Detroit fans. Shout out to Detroit, though.
Shout out to the D-Town. He basically says that NOD was the only one that had his back.
Yeah. And he had NOD's back, really, when he came out to confront The Undertaker, right?
Yeah.
About him beating up Farouk. So, it's a match made in heaven here.
We do get D'Lo on the mic as well.
I do think he does a good job. Just a decent job. He stumbles a couple times.
I watched this and I thought, one, D'Lo's missing a tooth.
Well, he probably from when he got Pearl River plunged through a car.
That was months ago.
Well, I mean, have you looked at his teeth? He hasn't talked.
That is true. He's like, Vince didn't have to say I was going to be on the mic.
Yeah.
All I had to do was escort
Mr.
Clarence.
Brown, yeah. We're going to get you on the mic here. I can't help but realize how much better this NOD is than 2 weeks ago NOD.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
D'Lo's talking, and it feels like, I'm going to say wrap this up really quickly, but it's like Ahmed will have like a very profound speech and then end it on like a good, like, because we're the Nation. And then D'Lo grabs the mic. And then we're going to, like, he's fighting over the mic, and Farouk will get on. He's like, any means necessary. And then D-Law's, because we're the Nation. Is like, he just keeps trying to get in this mic drop at the
end.
Well,
he didn't figure out the neck thing yet. So once he figures the neck thing out.
Probably because he keeps trying to go to the microphone, and he just kind of fizzles into that.
Yeah.
I think it
works. That's how you get the best bits, you know?
Yeah. D-Law's interrupted, kind of, sort of.
By what?
By the sound of a motorcycle.
Is it the Undertaker? I wanted to do that so much longer.
I know. We should have just done it. I would have just edited it out if it was really annoying. Blah, 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 blah. Episode 65. Blah, 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 blah. Crush has his... racist motorcycle game. Like,
yeah, what a twist here. He goes from Nation of Domination member to member of the, what is it, the Disciples of Anarchy or some shit?
I
Disciples
thought they just...
of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
DOA. That is him and a bunch of like two skinhead guys and another long haired white guy.
Yeah, but they are actually out in motorcycles.
Yeah, they're like here. Doing laps around the ring in motorcycles.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Disciples of Apocalypse, where are you at with that name?
I don't know.
I didn't know either.
So he said DOA. I'm like, that's kind of cool, but what does it mean? I like Disciples of Anarchy more. Disciples of Apocalypse.
It's like it's forced.
It seems forced. The tense seems off. Like it should be Disciples of the Apocalypse.
Right. Well, maybe it is, and then you can still abbreviate DOA like that on Arrival. Yeah,
right.
But
Disciples of Apples.
I think apples would have worked a lot better. It's shorter.
And then they could spit apples on people like Carlito. You think you're cool?
Where were we at this?
If we go back a little bit further, we can get in Vince's ear and write this whole thing in. What do you think Vince was like in this situation? We need a bunch of racist bikers. Let's get them out there.
I think he's like, I like the gangs. We got the Heart Foundation, Nation of Domination. Either we get Nazis. And they're like, we can't do Nazis, Vince.
Yeah.
All right, how about Hell's Angels? All right, we can, maybe that might work.
I can't wait for Savio's
Puerto
Rican soccer team that he comes out with. Or whatever it is.
The Peppers are the mascot. Caught him in a pepper field. Well, it was more of a soccer field. They just were the Peppers.
It was picking
pits. That's racist, Farouk. So, they all just start fighting.
Yep.
And it's said later, but Ahmed suffers an injury during all
this. He hurts his knee. He can't catch a break. What happens?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I really didn't see it either. So did it happen?
I don't know. They can't be faking it. Because, I mean,
why would they?
But he doesn't come out.
I know.
Later, so I don't know.
But why would they fake it? I think it's legit, right?
Yeah,
it has to be.
It does, I think.
Okay, we'll see where it plays out.
Bitten by the injury bug.
Rawr. So our matches tonight, we do have Nation of Domination, and they're going to go against the world champion himself, Undertaker, and his partner is going to be Vader tonight.
Why?
I think because Farouk was calling out Undertaker, and then, I don't know, why not?
Aren't they beefing kind of Undertaker and Vader?
Kind of.
Before?
Yeah, a little
from
bit.
From that Kuwait shit, they were on that talk show and Undertaker didn't have Vader's back?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean,
They're not going to be a good tag team.
Yeah, not at all.
I guess, though, I'm just realizing that Paul Bearer was tight with Vader for a bit.
I forgot about that until I saw them, like, talking backstage. I'm like, oh, yeah, kind of forgot about this.
So this is a tag match is this in the tag tournament?
I sent you the tag tournament.
You did.
Yeah, which, by the way, I will put here so you guys can see that.
This is that, yes.
Yeah.
In first round match.
Mm-hmm.
What a tag team.
I really do like this, though.
Vader versus the Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, yeah. And we've got LOD and the Godwins also today.
Godwins, yep. And for the first time ever on Monday Night Raw... Not a two-person match.
Wait, you could have more people?
There's like a triple.
That's a tag match.
And it's very threatening. But there's three. There's not four.
Oh.
So it's like three people.
How do you even do that? It's like, what if there's a disqualification?
Well, you could only win by pinfall or submission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then, and it's 2-on-1 or what?
No, it's every man for themselves.
Oh, wow.
It's very threatening.
So there's three people, okay?
Yeah, it's
they're
a triple.
All on their own team.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for a title.
This is for the IC title, yeah.
So whoever
first time ever on here.
So you could, so who is it? It's Owen, Triple H, and Goldust.
Yeah.
Oh, if said Triple H pins Goldust, he wins the title?
That's right. No matter if you get the pin or the submission, you win.
No matter
who. So Owen Hart cannot even get pinned.
Who
or
came
submitted.
Up with this? The Americans?
Can we stop doing the bit? every time there's something like this, they go so overboard on explaining things. Like, you know, Owen Hart could not get pinned or submitted and can still, like, we got it. We know what a triple
threat. Well, we did it. They didn't know that. This is the first triple threat.
How is this the first triple threat?
How is this the first? In 1996, we take this year, seven, we take this for granted, the triple threat.
So this was a historical episode and you barely remember it, bro? This is
history. Needed a refresher. I remember every minute of it now.
Yeah. Do you remember the LOD interview right afterwards?
I remember it was very short.
It was short, but it was fucking hilarious. I don't have any notes for it. I literally just wrote, ha.
I feel like they each said one line, and then they, like, laughed. And
the one line was probably the word stinky by Hawk.
Stinky, hop along.
No, that's it.
Skippity-doo-dah, hop along, Cassidy.
I don't know if I love or hate him. I really don't. Because, like, when I watch him by myself, I hate him. And then you just quoted him. Like, it's actually a brilliant line. It's actually fucking brilliant.
I was listening to a radio, wrestling radio show, and they're talking about, like, you know, every great face that ever's gotten over has always needed someone to help get them over. Like, you know, the other guy that you needed. And the one person, they're like, can you think of any face that's ever gotten over that didn't need someone else? And they said LOD might be the only one. Because they were just so over on their gimmick.
Yeah, their gimmick
is... And Hawk's stinky, smelly promos.
Is that what they said the promos?
No, I'm not.
Because I don't think it helps them. I really
don't. Like, they could go anywhere and any time and just be over. It doesn't matter who they're facing.
Sure. And I'll actually point that out in the match coming up. But our first match of the night is a Rockabilly versus Ken Shamrock himself.
And we got a special commentary guest here, right?
We do.
Was surprising to me. So if you're a UFC fan, you would know who Dan Severn is. Mm-hmm. He was
also a wrestler.
UFC heavyweight champion from back in the day in the 90s before it was more legitimized, back when Ken Shamrock was there. But he is actually, and I did know this, also the NWA champion at this moment.
At this moment?
Yeah, at this moment.
Did they say that?
Yeah, he's the NWA heavyweight champion.
Maybe I skipped through that.
So I was surprised. I never knew that he even wrestled, and that was interesting. So he's the current NWA champion, which is obviously another wrestling promotion, but interesting that he is on commentary here for Ken Shamrock's match.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because Vince and him are kind of plugging this whole thing. Vince is kind of legitimizing the UFC, and he's kind of legitimizing the WWE, because he's like, so in the UFC, your guys are in these cages. And then Dan's like, yeah, but the cages are a lot safer than this. Anything can happen. You're more prone to injuries.
World wrestling fans.
Right. So I'm like, is this the angle where it's going to shit on the UFC? But then Vince is like, and is this true that the UFC, they'd never had any injuries? He's like, that's right, Vince. Not one of our people have been to the hospital, and no one's died in the ring. And Vince is like, but you can't say the same about boxing, can you? He's like, you can't, Vince. Our sport is safe.
Heard recently another interview, even like this was a few weeks ago, with Frank Mir. He was on a podcast something, and he's saying kind of similar thing. Like, he's like, look, wrestling is choreographed and staged, but you're much more likely to get injured in a wrestling match. Like, you could have a UFC fight and not actually get hurt at all. Like, you could punch a guy in the face and he's done, or you're just going to get winded, or you get submitted, whatever, it doesn't hurt.
There's not a lot of broken necks in the UFC.
Right. But, like, even if you win a wrestling match, you're going to get suplexed a few times, you're going to get dropped a few times, you're going to take some bumps.
What's worse, getting knocked out or jumping off of a ladder going through two tables on fire? Like, just knock me out.
Yeah, or it's like, boom, okay, all right.
Of course you get injured. There's barbed wire on that bat. Yeah.
Not to get into current events, but did you watch AEW last night?
No, I'm still catching up on the last Rampage. Is it the barbed wire match with Chris Jericho?
Barbed wire everywhere match. Who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know, but I will say I was watching an interview with Randy Orton recently. And I don't know if this is true, but this is coming from Mankind himself. He said his favorite match was the Extreme Rules match with Randy Orton.
Wow, ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And even Randy's like, I don't know if I believe that, but thank you, Mankind. But that's what he says, yeah. And what a great match that was. And we'll cover it here soon. Ken Shamrock ends up getting the ankle lock submission for the win. And do you recall Rockabilly's tap out?
Vaguely.
He's literally goes like this. See, it was the most, like, I mean, imagine if you're Billy Gunn. It's like, you're going to go out there and wrestle for 30 seconds, and you're going to have to tap. Yeah. It's like, do you want to tap like a bitch, or do you just want it to be like, this is stupid? Yeah, it was basically one of those.
I guess I lose.
Yeah. So, Ken Shamrock, stares at them. Dan Severs outside the ring, and it's a little, you know, is there going to be some beef there?
A little eye.
Fans are going, little pop. They shake hands.
Ooh,
I think they did that little tickle thing. Yeah.
No wonder Ken Shamrock started giggling.
Yeah, that's what he.
Oh, he's like, you did it, dude. You got me, man.
Our next match, we're going to get LOD and the Godwins coming up here soon, but we do have the Godwins promo. Henry on the mic, I don't think we got that much. This was a great promo.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was expecting not
a
lot.
And they just turned from, like, lovable hillbillies to very angry, scary hillbillies. Like,
but they're still, and we'll get into this. And this
they got no undershirts on. It's just overalls now. That's how you know they're heels. They don't have undershirts on.
I still don't think they're heels, and we'll get into that. But yeah, you are right. They are changing their
attire.
They're
getting a little hardcore here, man.
We are also talking. God, I can't talk today. We're also talking about Sable and Mark Merrill. Is there really some drama going on there?
The power couple of 96 is having some problems.
So yeah, and we talked about this before, you know, Mark Merrill coming out and Sable just kind of, not being aggressive, but like, bitch, get the fuck backstage. You know, you sold your shirt. Get back there. Yeah.
Did you ever heard about breakup?
So they did. They were showing some pretty good photos of Sable.
Yeah.
Looking hot.
Yeah, wasn't this some type of advertisement?
Yeah, it was for the WWE magazine. And they did mention that Mark Merrill, you know, maybe he's getting a little jealous because when they're going out to these events, Sable's kind of a...
She's stealing the limelight.
Yeah.
He's not thinking pause here.
He's not. And I think he mentions this in the book, which we've plugged on plenty of episodes, but pick up that book. How to Be the Happiest Man on the Planet by Mark Merrill.
Secret is bang Sable.
Yes, I think you'll learn that. I'll edit that out. So LOD and the Godwins, and the Godwins are already in the ring. LOD is coming out. Big pop from the crowd. Godwins leave the ring and are waiting on the ramp. And slop bucket from the start, both Hawk and Animal. And I'm pretty sure this isn't the first time they've got hit with the slop bucket.
It's the second time, to my recollection. But interestingly enough, that gives Hawk extra powers.
Yes.
This is so stinky.
I forgot. Before this match, we talked about this. The LOD were on probation because they keep fucking up people in the ring. Henry had surgery. He had a broken C4.
C4.
Not like the pre-workout that you can get at your local grocery store.
Shout out to your local grocery store.
Shout out to your
local grocery store. Use some C4. Get it there.
So this is where I'm like playing who is the heels? Because, I mean, Henry got his neck fucked up by these guys.
Yeah,
like,
but it's LOD is not heel.
I mean, they fucked up this guy's neck. They never
got
an apology.
By accident. By mistake.
We accidentally took all the drugs.
Yeah. They were so stinky.
That cocaine was stinky. It's so stinky, I'm going to smell it again later. It stinks. So yeah, obviously LOD are the face here, and Godwins are turning heel, but I just don't. I feel bad for the Godwins.
You know, I think the medulla oblongata is like kind of attached to the neck area. So I think that's why they broke his neck.
Hawk is a big anatomy guy. Yeah. We've learned that so
right.
far.
He's like, the C4 is connected to the medulla oblongata.
So there's a spot where Phineas is distracting the referee, obviously, now that they're heel. And Henry throws Animal into the stairs, back into the ring. LOD sets up the Doomsday Device. So they got Henry up there. And Phineas goes and hits Animal and breaks it up. And then Hawk is still at the top of that turnbuckle. And then ends up jumping off of that turnbuckle, clotheslines Henry. And Henry actually lands on Animal's back. So Animal's like on all fours. as an animal should be. But he lands like on his back, and it wasn't intentional. Mm. But it looked for a cool move. Mm.
I see what you're saying.
But they're still botchy moves.
Yeah. Botching them left and right.
LOD wins, gets the cover, 1, 2, 3, and the Godwins aren't done. They take the slop bucket, and there's no more slop in that bucket.
You're telling me they're not heels and they're beating the shit out of people with slop buckets at the end?
I feel bad for them.
You've always sympathized with the hillbillies, though.
That's not true. The poor whites are my least favorite. The poor whites are my least favorite.
All right, if you say so.
But they start beating these guys over the head with the bucket. No slop, just bucket.
Bucket.
That
for
might
the
be
dough.
The name of the episode. No slop, just bucket. Yeah. And then Hart Foundation come out.
Just to help or what?
They're attacking LOD because if you do remember that 5-on-5,
they're in the semifinals
LOD's
now. Ooh,
yeah.
5-on-5?
Semifinals, not to mention the 5-on-5 match.
Oh, the 5-on-5.
Yeah.
The 5-for-5.
Why not?
Five. Yeah.
Why not beat the shit out of these
Stampede,
guys?
Stampede, Calgary Stampede match.
That's right.
So much going on.
I know. Try to keep up. Pillman has a chair and he hits Animal with it. Good chair shot to start. Kind of start Raw off. And then there's a kind of cool camera angle, and it just shows Brett at the top of the ramp looking on from a distance. And I'm like, I might be high right now, but Bret Hart's kind of cool. And then he got on the mic later, and I'm like, forget about it.
Yeah, you were high. No wonder. Oh, yeah. You know what was awesome? Bret Hart.
Yeah, that's why I also said this is the best Raw I've ever seen. We are met with Undertaker, the Dead Man, backstage. And he's basically getting interviewed, and he says to Vince, you know, sometimes in life, and Paul Bearer goes, shut up, Undertaker! So Paul Bearer is still the puppeteer around Undertaker, and he grabs Paul Bearer by the throat. He's had enough. And then Vader comes from the other angle, and he grabs them both by the throat, and pushes them and walks away. So he's here.
He's about here. He can only maybe go here.
Yeah.
They better be careful.
Better be careful. Owen Hart is backstage, and he's saying that this is unfair, right? And I agree with them. Out of nowhere, just to
kind of what we alluded to before,
boost
right?
ratings yeah. here. I got to not only defend my title again on Monday Night Raw, but now against two guys.
It's unheard of, three-way match.
In this new match that we don't know the rules to, no matter how many times you explain them. I have a 33% chance of winning this. But you know what? He says, I got a surprise. TBD.
Oh, surprise is coming, huh?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
And let's talk about the movie that Stone Cold is trying to plug here.
Is that his home video?
This is like his home video. Yeah. It's not a sex tape. Actually, I haven't watched it. It might be a sex tape.
He says it's not PG, so anything can happen here.
It is not. They couldn't stress that enough.
How un-PG it was.
They're like, just to let you guys know that we are, what is it, we are TVPG, and this is TVM.
Yeah. It's got a lot of dick in it.
Stone Cold Hog. Yeah, so pretty, I mean, anytime Stone Cold's on the mic, this is great, but he kind of plugs this movie, and I don't have a direct quote, but it was pretty good. Speaking of promos and such, Flash Funk is doing a little promo before his match with Sabu. So I already know Flash Funk Sabu, this is going to be a phenomenal match.
They're just feeding Flash Funk to all these ECW guys.
Huh?
They're just feeding Flash Funk to all these ECW guys.
And
but I'm on board.
Did you watch the Flash Funk promo?
I don't recall it. Oh, yeah. No, I did.
Not bad.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Not bad. He kind of reminded me of The Rock a little bit.
You hear this guy over here? He says Flash Funk's as good as The Rock.
It was a promo. I also thought,
right? He's crazy. You're telling me. So no.
Shut up, Klaus. Get back in the tank. God damn it.
Text Klaus to 353-353.
And now I'm dead. Flash Funk and Sabu, and we got Paul E. Dangerously, aka Paul Heyman, on commentary. And your thoughts on the match?
It's a great match. I love this shit. They should do these matches every week. It's really the best piece of wrestling they put on Raw at this moment.
I would agree.
It's ECW versus WWE guys.
We'll keep the drama going with everything that's going on, but please promise us either Sabu or Rob Van Dam.
Right, and they're a tag team, I guess, at this point. in ECW. So that's why they're kind of on King's team. And then all the other ECW guys are the other.
It's kind of funny guys, because, and I didn't know that they were, I knew they were a tag team. I just didn't know it was right now. So now I got to kind of go back and watch ECW because I'm pretty sure this is like.
Are we opening a new podcast?
Donate.
Donate to the podcast, guys.
Donate and we will. We got.
So here's the, here, what is, what's the order of operations? We got this, then we get donations, then we start doing ECW first, or we do WCW first? We're going to need a lot of donations.
Get I think we keep it with maybe ECW.
Whoa. I had never watched really outside of like every time it was on Saturday for a little bit.
Sure.
Cool. I'm in.
I mean, I just feel like the matches would be. We covered 96 wrestling, which was a little bit, you know, thank God for Mark Merrill in there, right, guys? But I can't imagine WCW being that much.
It won better. The ratings. It has NWO. It's got Hulkster. I know, but Rick I'm saying. Flair, like, Sting.
I'm just saying I'd rather watch ECW matches from the
night. No, I'm not disagreeing.
Okay. Either way, we need your donations to make that even possible.
This is like we'll one of those PBS pledge drives. If you donate, you'll get a tote bag with our pictures on it.
And if you don't, it goes dark.
Yeah.
It goes dark.
It goes dark.
You gotta give.
Give or else.
You gotta give. All right, so let's talk about this match. Pretty good. I don't have a lot of notes on it because I was enjoying watching it. But Sabu tries to grab a table. And Paul Heyman saying that either way, someone's going through a table tonight. Sabu hits a pretty awesome springboard for Hurricanrana and then finally gets that table up and gets Flash Funk on it. Does this backflip moonsault, and the table doesn't break.
This is the most hardcore table I've ever seen in wrestling. And Paul, it's like a real-ass table. It's not like anything that breaks. It doesn't break either time, right? It's the second time
he does the backflip, like moonsault, lands on it, and then you can see Sabu is like, shit, table was supposed to break. So then he just like belly flops on him, still doesn't, and then he's like, screw it, I'm going to go back up on top and just do a leg drop, and it was the one leg gave out.
R.I.P. Flash.
But why would they grab a table that way?
The Detroit tables, man, they are really well built.
It was mahogany.
Yeah. It was mahogany.
Hey-o. Another great match following that. We get Mankind and British Bulldog. And let's take things...
Bring it back.
Mankind is trying to be tag team partners with Stone Cold. Because Stone Cold still doesn't have a partner at the end of this tournament.
Yes, and he has to have a partner for the end of the tournament because Shawn Michaels is injured.
Yeah.
So he comes out, and speaking of Mankind here... wearing an Austin 316 shirt.
Not only that, he's got this paper clip with a sign that says, pick me.
Pick me. He wants to be his tag team partner. I can't imagine a more fearsome twosome
also,
in the World Wrestling Federation.
I love everything. Like, Mankind is... like doing 10x every week.
Yeah.
You know, like this better. Like now he's being this like goofy kind of like back to dude love.
When did
like
that become
funny?
A thing like 10x? It used to be like 10 times, but now everybody says 10x like it's cooler.
You know what? I didn't think about that. Now that you said it, it's very douchey to say 10x.
Yeah, but everybody does it now. Like it's a normal thing. So nobody says like, oh, you're going to get 10 times your money. No, it's 10x.
The thing is, 10x isn't really even in my vocabulary. So I'm
like,
I ordered
3x yesterday. Like, it should be 3x.
It's because, like, those, like, get rich, like, it's like
it's
people on YouTube,
crypto,
they're
bro.
Like, yeah, fucking Bitcoin, people, fucking 10x. Yeah, it's just like guys that think they understand because they watch, like, a 15-minute, like,
but
YouTube
they don't even
video.
Realize that the X means times.
I know.
Do they think the X is just, like, a variable solved for X? No, it's the time sign.
Yeah, so what is 10x? It's like, 20. We got to solve for x. It's like, no, that's a multiplication.
Yeah, it's 10 times. I need 10 times.
Because you can actually do 10 asterisk, right? Doesn't asterisk also mean
yeah,
times?
That could be times.
We should start 10
asterisk. 10 asterisk. 10 asterisk. The asterisk?
Asterisk.
Asterisk?
Asterisk? I think it's asterisk.
Asterisk.
We'll put it here.
Asterisk.
Swipe up. Who was right?
Gotta look this up.
Okay. Miles. Either way, we get Mankind and British Bulldog, and it's a very good match. But what makes it better? Stone
it's
Cold.
Asterix.
Oh,
it's
God, I'll edit all that.
Asterix.
Why don't we just say 10x?
Isn't that the singular?
You don't think they thought about this
already? That's the singular wireless guy. That's the singular wireless guy.
We get Stone Cold on the phone. And he's talking.
Oh, yeah, this is great.
And he's saying that Vince is asking him some questions. He's saying he's pretty beat up.
And, and it's very, like off-brand for him. Like, it's not in his character, this Stone Cold Steve Austin character.
It was, but it wasn't.
But it starts off weird because he's like, well, what do you think about Mankind wearing this shirt? And he says, the first thing he answers, don't ever call me Collect again, McMahon.
Yeah, that's the first thing he says.
And he said that the only reason he's not there is because his brother Kevin got stepped on by a bull.
But he owes him
30
bucks.
But he owes him 30 bucks, so he's there. He's there to, like, make sure he pays him.
This is just like hilarious. Like, it's not like you're not Stone Cold. This is Stone Lukewarm hilarious. Yeah.
And then he says, though, he appreciates Mankind dedicating.
Yeah, showing a little respect.
He's never shown anyone respect ever.
No respect at all.
Hey, what is this?
Call
me the dead man. So I got to do what Paul Bearer says. No respect at all.
And Vince is saying that Stone Cold's injured. He says he has a knee injury, and Stone Cold goes, yeah, they got me on antihistamines, anti-inflammatories, hell, antidepressants. Hit the word anti's in front of it. I'm probably on it. That was a terrible Stone Cold impression.
Antihistamine.
Yeah, I don't know what voice that I was doing, but that was Stone Cold. Either way, it's pretty
that
funny.
That was like a Shawn Michaels doing Stone Cold. That's what it really sounded like. I'm the toughest SOB in this company, 316. In a minute. I'm going to need a... Did you come up with any...
I'm going to need a sentimental. Hold the phone. I got a scanner.
Did you come up with more J.R. Lizzo lines? Feed me beats. All right, we'll have to do that next time.
Yeah. So Austin also ends up the phone with, also, don't fucking call me Collector. So funny. Pretty good match, but Bulldog realizes this isn't for my European title. What am I doing? I could just hit this guy with a chair. Bulldog brings into a chair, hits Mankind with two back shots, and then so far this might have been the hardest hitting chair shot I've seen.
Yeah.
He does one over the head where you can see the lip of the chair actually just hit his skull and the flipping part where you put your ass.
Yeah.
Hits him in the face.
Well, you're putting it.
Then, the last chair shot of all, not over the head, but he does a swing to the side of Mankind's face. And it was pretty gnarly. And then Bulldog gets a little cocky and does a sweet, sweet flex. And just behind him, Mankind hits the old mandible claw. Do you remember this... not really promo, but this discussion with Owen Hart and
Gorilla. Well, Owen, yeah. So he's pissed in the back.
Owen Hart's pissed. And I guess this is a secret, but he's like, Gorilla, if they're allowed to have two broads, I can have Brian Pillman by my side. Two broads meaning Triple H has Chyna and Goldust has Marlena. Now,
Marlena.
Maybe I was overthinking this when I watched it. Is calling Chyna a broad the most respectable term of endearment since she's been in the WWE?
The Amazonian woman.
Yeah. If you want to call that a woman. They're shitting on her so much. Owen calls her a broad. I'm like, ooh.
She gets super mad about that, though.
Yeah, but that's kind of, I mean, so far, been the nicest thing anyone's called her.
Well, takes one to know one, a little Owie.
I did like this, I guess you can say this little bit of a spot, because they're like, Gorilla Monsoon's like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. He's like, and you don't understand how unfair it is. He goes, no, I get it.
You could do it. No, yeah, you don't understand what I'm saying.
In order for British Bulldog to go out there, he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Pat Patterson's like, hey, he said you could have Brian by his side. He goes, oh, okay. But we do get Pat Patterson.
He's special referee here, huh?
Remember the last time he was special guest referee?
Yeah, it's the second time we've seen this, huh?
Mm-hmm. Last was an IC title match? Because he is the first ever IC title holder.
IC champion. I don't know why that qualifies you to be a referee.
It does forever.
Oh, okay.
Forever. You're locked in. So, Owen Hart could face anybody in a triple threat match because he was the first one to hold this title against him.
Wow.
So right now in the WWE, Owen Hart can come back and challenge anyone to a triple threat.
Is that where they killed him?
Probably.
Yes. That was, you couldn't write that off. I was like, shit, what are we going to do here? Let's just fuck his fucking wires up.
Let's make him into an unrelatable character that's like a superhero and swing him through the red. This is getting dark. We do have that match with Little Homie defending his IC title championship against Goldust and the 1997 King of the Ring champion, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. What'd you think of this match?
It was good. It wasn't the best. It wasn't the best triple threat match because it's the first one ever on Raw.
And it was the best at that moment.
Yeah, at the time. But the huge thing here is that they're really playing into this whole that anybody could pin anybody at any time, and they're like throwing each other off the pin and stuff. It's like watching like the 24/7 championship now. Like, oh, this guy goes for a pin, I throw him off, I go for a pin. Nobody really does that in triple.
There was one, yeah, but there was one spot where like Owen got clotheslined, Goldust went for the pin, Triple H went for the pin, pushed him off Goldust, yeah. Triple H, he's like, guys, get off. It was a clothesline.
Right.
I'm kicking out every time. But I get it. It was kind of like Three Stooges. Like,
yeah.
Is that a good analogy?
That was a great analogy, actually. Yeah. Best analogy I've ever heard.
So a lot of spinning heel kicks, a lot of finishers in here, except for the pedigree. So we see a couple curtain calls, see a couple spinning heel kicks, but Goldust finally hits that curtain call and goes for the pin. One, two, three, and new. Whoa, and we talk about babe. This. Goldust was bound to win this title.
About time, dude.
About time. 24 carat, what?
Owen had his foot on the ropes.
What do you mean?
He had his foot on the rope. And Brian Pillman.
Yeah, but Owen got pinned. One, two, three.
Goldust yeah, but won. He had his foot on the rope. And apparently they have the instant replay rule now in WWF. So
can we get Gorilla Monsoon out here?
No. Does he come out? Is it him that's
yeah,
talking?
Yeah, he comes
he's talking
out.
To Pat
and they Pat. Watch him.
They cut to commercial. And then, yeah, he's like, look, you can see it.
Yours cut to commercial.
Must be nice. Yeah. Must be nice.
Donate to the podcast, guys. Give him $5 a month so he can get the regular Peacock.
It cuts a commercial. Me and everyone watching it in 1996, 1997, sorry, saw it cut to commercial.
You guys got a progressive commercial with Flo. Even they did in 1997.
And, yeah, so they're overturning it. I guess that's a thing they can do now.
Did you hear, speaking of insurance commercials, did you hear that... Baker Mayfield wanted to do one with
Moving Out.
And I think it was with Progressive and they didn't want to do it. I think that's a good opportunity.
It's a great opportunity.
I mean, if T-Mobile can steal the Verizon guy.
Yeah, all's fair in love
all
and insurance
fair.
Commercials.
If Jake from State Farm can get replaced with a light-skinned black guy.
And Drake. Drake from State Farm.
Remember the original Jake from State Farm?
Yeah,
imagine he's like, dude, this is going to be huge. And like, we're going to replace you.
Yeah, but we'll give you this one more commercial where you get to talk to the guy that replaces you.
Yeah, how awkward's that?
Yeah.
He's like, so how'd you get the job? And the guy's like, just better looking and black.
Yeah. So it's a winning combination. Mm-hmm. So the match continues?
Yes, the match is back in order. So long story short, Owens on the top of the turnbuckle does a double drop kick, knocks Triple H and Goldust off, hits a spinning heel kick on Triple H, and Goldust jumps off the top turnbuckle to break that up. Little Owies moves, Goldust hits Triple H, so that's two big moves on Triple H, push Goldust out of the way, gets the pin, Little Owie wins, 1, 2, 3.
Well, no, we coming through first.
But Gorilla Monsoon comes out.
Now what?
I don't know. I'm making that up. But yeah. Little Owie retains.
Thank God. He didn't get screwed out of this.
I still feel like it's a matter of time until he loses his title.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's got to lose eventually. He's had it for a decent amount of time.
But I could have saw that happening.
I thought that would be the way to do it. Yeah. Then he could be pissed off about it. He loses, but, you know, Goldust or Triple H gets pinned and... then it's all good, you know? Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hart Foundation, we got Bret Hart, and he's out of a wheelchair.
Oh,
he's
walking around.
He's looking good, and he's with Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and he's doing an in-ring interview with Vince McMahon. And Vince is kind of asking him questions about this 5-on-5 match that he's going to have with Stone Cold, with Goldust, with LOD, and with Ken Shamrock. And he says, LOD, everyone thinks you're the best tag team in the World Wrestling Federation. Not.
Whoa! Is that the first not ever?
That's the first not ever.
He can do the not anymore.
He's not done.
Oh, shit.
This is how bad this okay. Brecko's, Ken Shamrock, very nice of you to finally leave the Ultimate Fairy Championship.
Fairy? Fairy? Who comes up with this? Who is this? He got a writer.
He's got Schaefer Goldust, right?
Yeah.
But he's not going to attack Goldust here. He's going to threaten Marlena and goes, and Marlena, if you try to interfere with British Bulldog, I got four sisters that will knock your socks off.
Whoa! The socks just go flying. And Hawk's like, give me some of them sweaty socks.
And it looks like somebody else is trying to steal my name around here. The Hitman. Meanwhile, who we got in the audience
tonight? We got Tommy Hearns, the actual Hitman of boxing.
Wow. From Detroit himself.
From the D.
Rocking a K-Swiss jumpsuit. And so is the rest of his family.
Yeah. And this is a seven or eight time champion?
Four stripes,
K-Swiss. My dad has K-Swiss shoes right now. And they're so off-brand for him. They're like...
Five-stripe?
No, I mean, they're more urban-style shoes. And he wears them out, like, but like they're his going-out shoes now. And they're just all white on white.
My going-out shoes. Don't cut the lawn of these babies. These are my K-Swiss
going out shoes. I got to see if I can find a picture of it. But they are nice. They're balling. So I think he got these from old Tommy Hearns. They used to go back. You
know? Is that right?
Yeah.
What they used to call them? Like the Motown Cobra, though? Too?
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motown Cobra. Rocking it. K-Swiss. I remember when I was in elementary school and K-Swiss were popping. And we would always like, and it was just four lines. Like you could easily see four. And I remember my friends were like, because they made the knockoff ones with like five stripes. So we'd be like sitting there counting them. Like you can clearly tell if it's an odd number or an even number. But we would like, you know, like big K-Swiss, big K-Swiss. Because we had like, K-Swiss.
They're like Al Dutch.
Yeah. But I was transitioning from Airwalks at the time. Remember Airwalks?
No, I wore Shaq brand shoes.
Did you? Whoa, you're fucking size 18 in third grade. Yeah. They don't call him Big Tom for nothing.
That they don't. But Tommy Hearns is a world champion boxer. I think they said six different weight classes.
Brett said. I know you won four different weight classes, and he's like, six, you fucking idiot.
And he goes, five, because he didn't see his other finger. He's like, six.
Five, six.
Whatever.
It's six, right?
So then he comes, they let him come into the ring.
No, before
right?
that, this is Bret Hart's biggest diss. He goes, I don't think you're a hitman. I think you're a chicken man.
Drop the mic, Brett. Drop the mic.
And this is enough, dude. Tom Hearns gets into that ring, goes to punch Brett. Jim Neidhart steps in, punches Jim Neidhart.
He gives a little body combo shot. He's out, dude.
And then a bunch of people are breaking this up. And the crowd is now chanting, USA, USA, USA. Pretty cool. Yeah. But wow, Brett, great on the mic.
Do you think that was a race joke? The chicken man thing?
You're a yard bird, man.
Yard bird?
Yeah.
Wow.
You ever heard of the yard bird?
I've heard of the band, the Yardbirds.
That's a band?
Casual Chef, I think he had a sandwich called the yard bird.
Well, yeah. I think all like hipster places try to do yard bird. It's like, we won't say chicken. We're, you know, we have an urban background. We'll say yard bird. Usually they are good chicken sandwiches, though. So what the fuck am I talking about? All right. NOD backstage. And they get interrupted. They're doing a little promo themselves. And they get interrupted by Savio Vega, who just got fired.
Ugh. Thank God this is him with a soccer team.
This just peaked in my mind. Remember when Crush is talking about the NOD and goes, by the way, I didn't get fired. I quit. We're like, no, we watched you get fired.
You can't
TV.
Fire me. We saw him say that. We saw him get fired. Plain and simple.
Do you think the other motorcycle guys knew that?
They were like, oh, shit. This guy lied to us.
Exactly. All right, so Savio Vega interrupts him, and they just start holding Savio down, and Farouk is just whipping him for, like, I don't know, 8 to 12 times? Pretty gruesome whips.
Yeah, you gotta come backed up with a gang if you're gonna jump on NOD right now, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. Even with an injured Ahmed.
Scott Taylor versus Brian Christopher, and I'm pretty sure we saw them last week.
But not against each other.
Not against each other.
This is a big moment. This is the first two cool.
This is big. First two cool. And I think this is when they're starting this whole thing about Brian Christopher being King's son.
Yeah, and they mentioned him mm-hmm. calling himself too sexy, Brian Christopher. Yeah. So this is all coming together now. Yeah. I like it.
Long story short, we'll wrap this up. Brian Christopher wins. And I do have my sign of the night. Do you have one?
No.
These signs sucked tonight. This is how you know. My sign of the night, you go, huh. I'm like, ugh, that might have been the best one. Sonny loves Rob Van Dam.
I would have thought that Sonny loves Sabu.
Some say it's not love if it's an even exchange for drugs and hand jobs.
In a boiler room, nonetheless.
Yeah. Or if it's love, it's love. Yeah, but some say that even exchange, drugs and hand jobs, it's not love. Paul Bear is doing a little interview backstage with Vader. He's got his crew, and Vince is asking him, what about the fire you were talking about? What about this fire? Paul Bear pushes the camera away, so to be continued on that. But what about the fire, Tom? I heard we didn't start the fire. I heard it's always burning since the world's been turning.
Undertaker's house. We didn't start the fire.
Who's that? Whose house?
Undertaker's house.
Oh, Undertaker's house.
Yeah, and then like his parents died in it, I think. Mm-hmm. And then maybe there was a third person there. I don't know.
That's gotta be flames. NOD versus Taker and Vader. Yeah. I really hope, I'm kind of nervous because we just put the camera on. I really hope I'm in shot.
What if you're not and I'm talking to Klaus over here, you over here, nobody.
Or it's just you and Klaus.
Yeah, it could just be me and Klaus.
Damn. Yeah. It's like Klaus is doing it when the motorcycles came out. That was actually Klaus's idea to do that. But either way, Nation of Domination versus Undertaker and Vader. And the match starts. And again, we're shot back to backstage where Ahmed Johnson has to weirdly watch the TV on a chair on a weird angle for some reason.
He's so frustrated and upset with himself.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Right as the match starts. Okay. Probably about 2 minutes in. Did you hear that?
Hear
is that
what?
A car?
It's raining.
Oh.
Outside.
Is it a...
Try to keep it under an hour.
I know.
You'd have to cut out on that.
Crush's biker gang comes out. Not Crush's biker gang. The brothers of... Another mother.
Anarchy?
Disciples of Apocalypse.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Apocalypse. And they come out and they start attacking Nation of Domination. And then Taker and Vader are like, I want to fight too.
Yeah.
And then they start fighting just random people.
Yeah, well, they're a good tag team.
All right, inside the ring, Vader hits a Vader bomb on D'Lo, but Farouk breaks it up. And this whole time, Vader's in the ring, we got Paul Bear and Undertaker just bickering.
Bickering, sons of bickerers.
I like that. Yeah. That'll be the name of the title, sons of bickerers. And then Vader's like, yo, Undertaker, bro, what's going on? And then Vader just punches Vader. Farouk comes right behind with a sweet clothesline, gets the pin. Undertaker doesn't give a shit. Nation of Domination win. And Vader and Undertaker are fighting in the middle of the ring. Undertaker hits Vader with a tombstone.
This has got to be the heaviest tombstone of all time.
Probably up there. Of all time? Time? It's Vader?
Time? What about all the bikers? What happens to them?
I don't know.
They just drive away or something?
Yeah. Yeah, because you think we're hurt them. They just had to like push their bikes back up the ramp where it's just like a bitch. And Paul Bear's not happy with the tombstone that Vader just got, and he says that he is going to share the Undertaker's secret.
I can't wait. Let's go watch this.
And then Undertaker is at the top of the turnbuckle, points at him, does this, and then this.
Whoa. Doom.
Good night.
And God bless wrestling.